Ralph put his fingers in his mouth and bit them. There was only one other rock up there that they might conceivably move, but that was half as big as a cottage, big as a car, a tank. He visualized its probable progress with agonizing clearness. That one would start slowly, drop from ledge to ledge, trundle across the neck like an outsized steam roller. Heave, heave, heave. Ralph put down his spear, then picked it up again. He pushed his hair back irritably, took two hasty steps across the little space, and then came back. He stood looking at the broken ends of branches. Still silence. He caught sight of the rise and fall of his diaphragm and was surprised to see how quickly he was breathing. Just left of center, his heartbeats were visible. He put the spear down again. Heave, heave, heave. A shrill, prolonged cheer. Something boomed up on the red rock, and then the earth jumped and began to shake steadily, while the noises steadily increased. Ralph was shot into the air, thrown down, dashed against branches. At his right hand, and only a few feet away, the whole thicket bent, and the roots screamed as they came out of the earth together. He saw something red that turned over slowly as a mill wheel. Then the red thing was past, and the elephantine progress diminished towards the sea. Ralph knelt on the ploughed-up soil and waited for the earth to come back. Presently the white broken stumps, the split sticks, and the tangle of the thicket refocused. There was a kind of heavy feeling in his body where he had watched his own pulse. Silence again. Yet not entirely so. They were whispering out there, and suddenly the branches were shaken furiously at two places on his right. The pointed end of a stick appeared. In panic, Ralph thrust his own stick through the crack and struck with all his might. Ah! His spear twisted a little in his hands, and then he withdrew it again. Oh! Someone was moaning outside, and a babble of voices rose. A fierce argument was going on, and the wounded savage kept groaning. Then, when there was silence, a single voice spoke, and Ralph decided that it was not Jack's. See, I told you, he's dangerous. The wounded savage moaned again. What else? What next? Ralph fastened his hands round the chewed spear, and his hair fell. Someone was muttering only a few yards away towards the castle rock. He heard a savage say, "No," in a shocked voice, and then there was suppressed laughter. He squatted back on his heels and showed his teeth at the wall of branches. He raised his spear, snarled a little, and waited. Once more the invisible group sniggered. He heard a curious trickling sound and then a louder crepitation, as if someone were unwrapping great sheets of cellophane. A stick snapped and he stifled a cough. Smoke was seeping through the branches in white and yellow wisps. The patch of blue sky overhead turned to the color of a storm cloud, and then the smoke billowed round him. Someone laughed excitedly, and a voice shouted, "Smoke!" He wormed his way through the thicket towards the forest, keeping as far as possible beneath the smoke. Presently he saw open space and the green leaves of the thicket. A smallish savage was standing between him and the rest of the forest, a savage striped red and white and carrying a spear. He was coughing and smearing the paint about his eyes with the back of his hand as he tried to see through the increasing smoke. Ralph launched himself like a cat, stabbed, snarling with a spear, and the savage doubled up. Then there was a shout from beyond the thicket, and then Ralph was running with a swiftness of fear through the undergrowth. He came to a pig run, followed it for perhaps 100 yards, and then swerved off. Behind him, the ululation swept across the island once more, and a single voice shouted 3 times. He guessed that was the signal to advance, and sped away again, till his chest was like fire. Then he flung himself down under a bush, and waited for a moment till his breathing steadied. He passed his tongue tentatively over his teeth and lips, and heard far off the ululation of the pursuers. There were many things he could do. He could climb a tree, but that was putting all his eggs in one basket. If he were detected, they had nothing more difficult to do than wait. If only one had time to think. Another double cry at the same distance gave him a clue to their plan. Any savage balked in the forest would utter the double shout and hold up the line till he was free again. That way they might hope to keep the cordon unbroken right across the island. Ralph thought of the boar that had broken through them with such ease. If necessary, when the chase came too close, he could charge the cordon while it was still thin, burst through, and run back. But run back where? The cordon would turn and sweep again. Sooner or later he would have to sleep or eat, and then he would awaken with hands clawing at him, and the hunt would become a running down. What was to be done then? The tree? Burst the line like a boar? Either way, the choice was terrible. A single cry quickened his heartbeat, and leaping up, he dashed away towards the ocean side and the thick jungle till he was hung up among creepers. He stayed there for a moment with his calves quivering. If only one could have Pax, a long pause, a time to think. There again, shrill and inevitable, was the ululation sweeping across the island. At that sound he shied like a horse among the creepers and ran once more till he was panting. He flung himself down by some ferns, the tree or the charge. He mastered his breathing for a moment, wiped his mouth, and told himself to be calm. Sam and Eric were somewhere in that line and hating it. Or were they? And supposing instead of them he met the chief, or Roger, who carried death in his hands. Ralph pushed back his tangled hair and wiped the sweat out of his best eye. He spoke aloud. Think. What was the sensible thing to do? There was no piggy to talk sense. There was no solemn assembly for debate, nor dignity of the conch. Think! Most, he was beginning to dread the curtain that might waver in his brain, blacking out the sense of danger, making a simpleton of him. A third idea would be to hide so well that the advancing line would pass without discovering him. He jerked his head off the ground and listened. There was another noise to attend to now. A deep, grumbling noise, as though the forest itself were angry with him, a somber noise across which the ululations were scribbled excruciatingly as on a slate. He knew he had heard it before somewhere, but had no time to remember. Break the line, a tree. Hide, and let them pass. A nearer cry stood him on his feet, and immediately he was away again, running fast among thorns and brambles. Suddenly he blundered into the open, found himself again in that open space, and there was the fathom-wide grin of the skull, no longer ridiculing a deep blue patch of sky, but jeering up into a blanket of smoke. Then Ralph was running beneath trees, with a grumble of the forest explained. They had smoked him out and set the island on fire. Hide was better than a tree, because you had a chance of breaking the line if you were discovered. Hide, then. He wondered if a pig would agree and grimaced at nothing. Find the deepest thicket, the darkest hole on the island, and creep in. Now, as he ran, he peered about him. Bars and splashes of sunlight flitted over him, and sweat made glistening streaks on his dirty body. The cries were far now, and faint.